Hi, guys. Well, good morning, New Life Church. It is an honor to be here with you guys this morning. If we haven't met yet, my name is Ray, and I'm one of the deacons here at New Life. And to quickly recap our current series we're in, in United. Pastor Virgil, the week one, he talked about our top priority as Christians is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, right? And then Pastor John came up and he shared that true spiritual growth happens through building a deep relationship with Christ. And over the past few weeks, we have learned about things that bring us closer together as a church. Basically our purpose, which is loving God and loving others, and our vision, which is grow and then go. And then today we're going to be talking about doing all of those things together. And I'm honestly, you know, truly thankful for a church who allows people to use their giftings and their callings. And it's a privilege to serve here at New Life along with all of you guys and to share today's message with you guys. So thank you so much. My speaking style is a little bit different. I'm more of a teacher rather than a preacher. And I talk a lot about my, you know, personal life, you know, personal stories. And I try to make these messages as relatable and practical as possible. And if this is your first time here and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian, because I'm not going to assume that everyone in this room is a Christian. If you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian, just know that Christians can be weird. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you guys are laughing because it's true. So we can be a little bit weird sometimes. So I apologize on behalf of all of us. But I will say this. I promise the people in this room are pretty cool. You just have to get to know them a little bit first. But I'll never forget the day I graduated from Bible school. Okay. All my family, who are all Catholic, by the way, they all came up from South Texas up to Dallas, and they joined me in that ceremony. And I knew it was going to be a little bit different for them just because the ceremony was going to be like a contemporary worship, you know, type of deal, you know. So I knew it was going to be a little bit interesting. And again, I'll never forget this. The worship leader at that time, he was very spontaneous, which I loved. It was great, you know, let the Holy Spirit move, which was awesome, right? And sometimes he would speak from the heart, okay? And during the sermon, during the worship set, he literally was singing, and he said this. He said, "Anoint me with oil. Set me on fire. I want to burn for you, Jesus. I want to burn for you, Jesus." And I thought at that moment, my hands were up, and I went like this. I was like, oh, boy. My family thinks I probably joined a cult, you know? So I knew exactly what the worship leader was saying, but I knew my family didn't. And I'll be honest, sometimes as Christians, we can be a little bit weird. But I'll tell you this, the people in this room, none of us have it all figured out, okay? We're all sinners, and we need saving, and none of us have it all together. And the beautiful part about it is that we're all doing life together as a church. So thank you guys for joining us. I'm super happy you're here. Okay, so today's main idea is doing life together with purposeful connection that will build a stronger biblical community. And my hope is that this word will not only be encouraging to you guys, but it'll also make you pause for a second and think about your relationships within the church and also your relationships at home. Now, it wouldn't be fair to my daughter Riley if I didn't mention her a couple of times today. In the past, I've shared stories about her, and today's going to be no different. As I prepared for the message today, I found myself asking, why in the world do I include Riley so often in these messages? Or just my kids in general? And the answer is actually pretty simple. I talk about life, okay? And Riley is a big part of mine. She's my firstborn daughter. And the Holy Spirit has a very unique way of teaching me important life lessons through my kids and also through parenting in general. So I have a question for you guys. Are you guys good if I share a couple of Riley stories today? Yeah? Okay, cool. All right. Well, we're going to get there. But before we do, before Karen and I became members here at New Life, we were part of another local church and we loved it there. Everyone was family. We were there for a long time and it was great. And most importantly, we were very comfortable, okay? And if you know anything about ministry, you know that if you get really comfortable, something's about to change. So sure enough, while we were comfortable, the Lord was calling us out of that church during that season. And instead of obeying God in that time, we resisted, and we resisted hard. Has anyone ever done that? Had a clear call from God and you know what you're supposed to do, but you're like, nope, I am not doing that. Yeah. Well, that's basically what was happening here. We loved it there, and we found every single excuse in the book to make so that way we couldn't leave that church. But you know, the crazy thing was is Riley was dedicated at that church. She was born, you know, in that church when we had her. Everyone knew her. Everyone loved her, and it was great. And all our entire, you know, family and community was all plugged in to that church. And Psalms 33 verses 18 through 22 says, "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." I'll say that again. Our hope is in you alone. And I'll be honest with you guys. During that season, our hope was not in Jesus. We resisted him because we didn't want to leave where we were. Riley was about a year old, or just a little bit over a year old at that time. And although we were really comfortable at that church, we found ourselves in a unique situation. We found ourselves in a new life stage where Riley was going to become a toddler. And we were really looking for other families that had littles. At that time, there were no other families within the church that had really small children. All of them either had teenagers or preteens or kids in elementary, but not a lot of toddlers at the church we were at. So we were really looking for connection with other families that were in a similar life of stage as we were. So we finally said yes, okay? And this was something we should have done right away, but sometimes we think we can outsmart God and maybe like hide from him a little bit. Has anyone ever done that? I know I have. But listen, you can't. There's no hiding from God. And if you're in that place now and you know you are supposed to obey him and God's telling you to do something, I'm going to just save you some trouble and save you some heartache. Just obey him now. We learn the hard way sometimes. Trust me, it's better for your soul if you surrender to his will for your life. Okay, so this led us over to New Life Church, and honestly, it's been amazing. God's timing on how everything came about was just perfect. And we've been at New Life now for 3 years, and everyone here is family. And as I mentioned earlier, we are going to be talking about connection this morning, doing life together with purposeful connection that will build a stronger biblical community. So a recent study was done and found that 61% of young adults, 51% of mothers that have young children, and across all the other demographics, 36% of people report living with serious loneliness. That's a problem, church. And on top of this, loneliness is associated with many health problems, including depression, anxiety, and cardiovascular disease. And there's a song by One Republic called Connection, and I promise I'm not going to sing it for you, so you're welcome. I'll say what it says. So there's one of the lines in the song, and it says, "If there's so many people here, then why am I so lonely?" And he's talking about the 8 billion people living on earth, yet he finds himself alone and longing for connection. And church, loneliness is not about not having enough people around you. Okay? It's about not having close and meaningful connections with the people around you. And whether you follow Jesus or not, we can all agree that these numbers are concerning and they need to be addressed. So church, we can't live full and healthy lives if we're isolated and doing everything on our own. So when Riley was 2 years old, she was going through a really bad sleep regression, and she forgot how to lay down after she woke up in the middle of the night. Okay, you heard that right. I'm not even joking. If she woke up in the middle of the night, she could not lay herself back down. She required our physical assistance to lay her down. It was a weird situation going on. So, and every parent here knows that sleep deprivation is literally a form of torture. So we were being tortured by our two-year-old at that time, and we weren't getting any sleep. So I remember one night, I was angry with God. I was sitting in her room. It was 2 o'clock in the morning and we weren't getting any sleep and we were just exhausted. And I remember asking God with an angry tone in my mind. I was so mad and I was like, God, where in the world are you? Like, why aren't you helping right now? You know what we're in. You clearly see the struggle that we're in for the whole week. Like, why aren't you doing anything about it? You know? And as soon as I was finishing my sentence, God told me, I am here. I have never left. Woo. That hit me hard and my body went ice cold and I can feel like the hairs on my arms rise up and the Holy Spirit was in the room and I just started bawling. I was just crying uncontrollably. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Amen. So the lesson I learned there was that we are never alone, church. Even when we feel like we are, God will never abandon us. And that is great news. This whole message is to encourage you to seek connection with other believers. You see, when a church is working together to build purposeful connection with each other, loneliness vanishes and joy and freedom take its place. And that is my hope for every single one of you guys today. For you to realize that together is better than alone. Okay, so has anyone ever walked into a completely dark room? I'm talking about pitch black. No lights anywhere, just a completely dark room. And you experience temporary blindness. Has that ever happened to anyone? Well, it's happened to me. I'll tell you that. It's happened to me more often than I would like because of, like I said, my daughter's sleeping habits. And listen, I'm not going to throw Riley under the bus all the time here. She's actually an amazing little sleeper. Ever since she was 4 months old, she's been sleeping in her own room, in her own bed, and she's great. But every now and then, she has a really bad night or she'll go through some sort of like sleep regression and it requires some of our assistance. So whenever she does have a bad night, I walk into her room and I literally can't see anything. No shapes. I can't even see like the hand in front of my face type of deal. It's that dark in her room. But as a few minutes pass and I'm sitting there in that dark room, my eyes begin to adjust a little bit and I can slowly start seeing shapes and I can slowly start seeing objects in the room. And the longer I sit in that darkness, the clearer everything actually becomes. At first, the darkness is super uncomfortable. But the more I expose myself to that darkness, the more at ease I feel sitting in it. And church, I think this is exactly how habitual sin works in our lives. Habitual sin is when we repeatedly commit the same sin and it becomes a pattern that is hard to break. At first, we feel guilt or maybe some shame or discomfort because we know that the sin is wrong. But the more we continue in the sin, the more we become numb to that discomfort. Eventually, we become comfortable in the darkness and it becomes harder to see the sin for what it truly is. And I believe that the habitual sin is the death of community and connection. You know what? It causes people to feel ashamed. And then in turn, it makes people isolate themselves from community, which in reality, what they really need is Jesus. And what they need is to be surrounded in biblical community. And church, the devil wants us to feel at ease in sin. He wants us to be able to see in the darkness. Sin can make us feel isolated and paralyzed, but that's exactly what the enemy wants. For us to feel alone and for us to feel stuck. In 1 Peter 5:8, we are literally warned about this. He says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And the devil is actively looking for someone to devour, church. And it's often the person who is isolated and away from the pack. In my heart, it truly desires that everyone who walks into these doors feels a sense of love and connection and that they feel seen. And my hope is that you are able to find connection here and you are able to get plugged in and start building that biblical community that we're talking about. So if that's you and you're asking, okay, well, how do I break free from this? You know, how do I find this biblical community we're talking about? The answer is simple, and it's always going to be Jesus. Come into the light. Turn to Jesus. Do life with other believers. And when you're doing life with other believers, you'll find that community that you're looking for. And for those of you who have been in that completely dark room, and you're there for a while, and you suddenly have the lights turned on you, you know how painful that can be as well. It's kind of like what happened to Paul in Acts 9. Whenever he was blinded by the bright light after living in spiritual darkness for so long. And this is for you. If you're in that dark room right now and you're looking for a sign and you've been praying for a sign, this is your sign, guys. It's time to step into the light. There is freedom in the light and there is healing in the light. And I'll tell you this, Jesus is worth it all. 1 John 1 verses 5 through 7 says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare it to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So church, if we are living in the light, we will have fellowship with other believers. It's that simple. Acts 2 verses 42 through 47 says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved." So let's get real for a moment. And before I do this, I wanted to say, hope you guys can hear my heart a little bit. I'm coming from a really good place, I promise. But I don't want to offend anyone, but this really has to be said. I've noticed that people who attend church maybe once a month, twice a month, or maybe even less than that, they often complain about not having a sense of belonging or complain about not having deep connections with anyone within the church. And I've also seen people who come to church and they leave immediately after the service ends, not talking to anyone. And I totally get that sometimes that happens. We have to go and there's places to be. But I've run into some of these people in real life and I've talked to them outside the church and I asked them like, "Hey, you know, I don't know if you remember me, but we met at church a while back and I haven't seen you there recently." And the response I get is, "Well, you know what? We didn't really connect at that church and we didn't really have any friendships there." And that honestly breaks my heart. And sometimes I think, well, of course you don't find that connection if you don't put yourself out there and seek that connection. No one has ever grown spiritually or built friendships or become an active member of any church without first committing to consistent attendance and intentionally seeking out relationships. Again, I'm not trying to offend anyone, so I really hope you can hear my heart here. And some of you might say, "Well, listen, Ray, I'm an introvert, okay? And meeting people is just not my thing. And honestly, it kind of terrifies me, right?" And I'll say this. For a season in my life, I considered myself an introvert as well. And I know it's hard to believe, right? I know. But I'll explain why. So during this time in my life, I used it as an excuse. Because at that time in my life, I was dealing with a lot of social anxiety. And I didn't have a lot of deep, meaningful connections with other people. So I called myself an introvert to kind of mask it. And I'll tell you this, church. I needed other men in my life to help me grow spiritually and help me walk in the purpose that God had with me. And that takes accountability. I had to put myself out there and seek that accountability. So I'll tell you this. If you let the fear of rejection or the fear of failure, if you let that hold you back from putting yourself out there, it's going to be really hard to make those connections. So Karen and I went on a 2-week cruise before we had kids. And if you've ever been on a long cruise, you know that you kind of see the same people over and over again. There's not that many people on an extended period of time. So you kind of run into them, you know, on the ship or outside the ship, et cetera. And we knew we were going to be with these people for 2 weeks. So we decided, you know what? Let's make some friends, right? Let's see who we can hang out with. And one day we were in the board game room and we saw another young couple there. So we're like, yeah, let's do it. So Karen asked me to go and introduce myself and ask them if they wanted to come to our table and play a board game with us. And I want you guys to see there that Karen asked me to go do it. So she didn't want to put herself out there. So there I was as an obedient husband. I go and I introduce myself to this other couple. And I said, hey, guys, you know, you guys want to come to our table and let's play a board game with each other, right, and get to know each other. I'm not joking. They looked at each other. They looked at me, looked at each other again. And then they looked at me and they said, no, we're good. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's totally fine. Thanks. And I walked away and I went back to my table and it wasn't even that far. It was like down that way. So it gets so close. So I walked back to my table. I kind of told Karen, you know, what happened under my breath. Right. And as I was telling her, we just kind of shrugged it off. And then seconds later, that couple ended up getting up from their table and they walked out, leaving their game on the table, and they didn't even have the courtesy to pick it up. But the funny part was, is that we kept running into them throughout the entire trip, and it was super awkward. But the point here is this, guys, we can't be afraid of rejection. You know, I had to put myself out there. If I wanted to have friends and meet people, I had to go and ask for that, right? And this couple rejected me. And you know what? That's totally fine. That's going to happen in life. Not everyone is going to be your friend, and that is okay, church. Not everyone is absolutely going to love you. And that is okay. Some people like tea, right? Some people like coffee. And if you're anything like my daughter Riley, you love matcha. It's the same exact thing. I said matcha. You know, it's matcha, same thing. So listen, if you let the fear of rejection control you, you'll always wonder what if. You'll always wonder what if, church. But listen, I don't want to be a church of what ifs. I want to be a church of we did. It takes a community, a church, and it takes intentionality. Making connections within the church isn't hard. It's not. It just takes a desire to do it. If you want to build relationships and grow in your faith, you have to take that first step. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So there is a Greek word in the Bible that translates to fellowship, and it also translates to communion. It's called koinonia, I'm always going to mess it up. It's hard. It's a hard word to say. Koinonia. So this word is used multiple times in the Bible. It's in Acts 2, and it's a word to describe people that share their belongings and learn from the apostles. It's also in John 1 as well, and it speaks about the relationship between Christians and with Jesus. And it represents the ideal unity that Christians should have and closeness they should have with other people. So this is what the leaders of this church really hope for us to have that closeness and that bond in this congregation. And a few weeks ago, Karen and I, we experienced a real blessing, and it really talks about this moment perfectly. Our house got hit hard with the flu, and it started with Riley, and then Karen got it, and then I got it, and then after that, our 4-month-old baby, Emmy, she got it, okay? And it was just really, really hard. And honestly, we've never been that sick in our entire lives. And much less, we've never been sick all together at the exact same time. So it was rough. And it felt much, you know, much worse than just the flu. So I remember one night, Riley was crying because she was feeling just completely awful. And she was hungry as well. So I'm not too sure if it was the hungry or feeling awful that made her cry. Probably a little bit of both. But she was feeling awful. Karen was in the other room. And Emmy was also crying, and she was trying to soothe her. Karen felt absolutely horrible as well. And I'll just say this, there was a lot of crying going on in our house that day. Just a lot of crying. I think Karen and I shed a few tears as well, different parts of the day. I was feeling just completely out of it. I had a massive headache and I just was not feeling good. Riley needed dinner. Both girls were crying and we were all hungry. But Karen and I had absolutely zero energy to get up and cook a meal for the family. And honestly, we didn't know what we were going to do. We just had to suck it up and just do it. But in that moment, at that exact time, in the middle of all the crying, we got a text from Meredith Parker. And she told us that she was bringing us dinner and she was on her way. She'll be there in 30 minutes. In the middle of all that, I remember standing there in the kitchen and my heart was so full. And this support happened multiple times that week. Chris and Ashley Boyett, Jeremy and Kalinda Dunn, Anthony and Hannah Black, Michael and Julie Hydock, and of course, James and Meredith Parker. Thank you guys so much for your selflessness and your generosity that you showed us. And many others texted and prayed for us, so thank you guys as well. And we are so grateful for the love and the support that we were shown. And we were reminded that that is what the church is all about. Helping each other in times of need and showing Jesus' love. And although our family was going through it, we felt a deep sense of belonging and love because the people that we do life with showed up for us in a big way. And I remember one of these days we needed some stuff from the store. And Julie Hydock ended up coming over to our house and she dropped over some stuff and she just walked right in. She walked right into our house and she was just there and she knew full well that we all had the flu. But she didn't care. And the crazy thing is about a week later, she got the flu. and she's adamant that it wasn't because of us. It was because of work or something, but I don't know if I believe her. So sorry, Julie, but I'm glad you're doing better. But that's what the church is all about, right? Doing life together through the good times, but also through the bad times. So one of my favorite movies is the movie Gladiator. Has anyone ever seen it? Yeah, right, of course. It's a classic. It's a masterpiece, as I like to say. So I haven't seen the second one yet. I know a new one just came out, but I'm doing it on purpose. I don't want to see it because I have a fear that it's just going to mess up the first one for me. But I'm sure I'll get to it eventually. So I had the privilege once of hearing Lance Wall. Now, if any of you guys know who he is, great speaker. I had the chance to hear him speak one time and he brought one of my favorite scenes from that movie to life. And it was great. And I'm going to do my best to share his thoughts and explain and illustrate the scene as he did. And I also just want to preface a little bit that this movie is a fictional movie. Okay, guys, it's not a real movie, but the principle in the scene can be used in real day. So let's talk about it. So the scene takes place when Maximus finds himself in the Colosseum for the very first time. Okay. He's surrounded by all the other gladiators and they're all looking around to see who they have to fight. Right. And then they hear that they're about to partake in a reenactment of a crazy, really bad battle that basically had a 0% chance of life for the gladiators. So they were in a bad. And Maximus at this time, once they found that out, he asks all the other gladiators around him. He says, "Has anyone in here ever served in the army?" And then a few of them say, "Yes, yes, I fought with you. I was there. I fought with you." And if you haven't seen the movie yet, Maximus was a beloved general in the Roman army. And he was really close to the emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Okay, again, fictional story. But he was really close in the movie. And when Marcus Aurelius died at the hand of his son, Commodus, Commodus was very jealous of Maximus, and then Commodus sent Maximus off to slavery because he was scared that Maximus will overthrow him with the men he had under him. Commodus was just not a good dude at all. Okay, so going back to the movie, Maximus then says to all the other gladiators, he says, "Whatever comes out of these gates, we have a better chance of survival if we work together. If we stay together, we survive." And this is the part that really excites me in real life, because no matter what the gates of hell try to throw at me or my family or my friends or my church or our nation, I know that we have a better chance of survival if we work and we stay together. So then out come the chariots, right? So the chariots come out, they're kind of surrounding all the gladiators. And then this is when Maximus starts yelling a lot of commands to get everyone together. He starts saying, stay close, come together, stay close. And then he says, lock your shields and stay as one. And as the gladiators get close to them, as the chariots get close to them, Maximus then yells to all the gladiators. He says, hold as one. And because they were locked in together, the chariot blades did not pierce their shields. Then the chariots come at them again. And then Maximus yells, diamond. And this was a command for all the gladiators to tilt or to lean over a little bit when the chariots pass by them. So that way they can try to flip the chariots over. So then as the chariots pass by them for a second time, they all yell, as one. And they work together and they lean over and they flip the chariots. And when Maximus yells, as one, church, the gladiators link their shields together, forming a protective barrier that provides 360-degree coverage. This means that their shields overlap each other, and they got each other's back. By working in unison, they are able to neutralize any threat that is thrown their way. Then Maximus starts shouting more commands. He starts saying, single column, single column. And those of you who have seen the movie, you can picture it. He's saying, single column, single column. And it's really at this point that the tide starts to change. The battle starts turning in the gladiators' favor. They can now walk in unity and can separate and move into two columns. The gladiators took command of the hell that they were thrown in because they learned that working together is the only way to survive. And you see, church, this was not supposed to happen, okay? They flipped the agenda 100% here. They were all supposed to get devoured, but they worked together as one. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And church, when we enter in agreement with each other and we join the shields of faith that each of you guys have, we will then be able to walk in unity and do something truly amazing for our church and also for our community. Just like Maximus inspired the other gladiators to fight as one and to stay focused and to win through teamwork, I hope that we can unite as a cohesive group rather than working as individuals. While Maximus fought to survive, my hope for New Life Church is that we don't just survive, but we thrive and we do it together. So next week, we're going to be continuing our series in United, and Pastor Virgil will share about our church's mission to make competent and empowered disciples for ministry. So you guys don't want to miss that. So in closing today, I want to leave you guys with a few practical steps that we can take as a church to start building community in our lives, which will then in turn help New Life Church grow closer together. And the first one is this: stay committed to one church. And I know that is kind of simple, but there's a lot of meaning behind that. Stay committed to one church. When life throws you a curveball, you'll be thankful to have a church family that you can lean on. The key to this is remaining consistent in your commitment to one church and building relationships with people around you. And the second thing is this: take initiative. Be proactive. Don't wait for others to approach you. I know in greeting time, it's really easy just to kind of stay in your little bubble. Walk around. Go to the other side of the room every once in a while and say hello to someone you've never met before. You never know. They might just be your best friend. Invite that person or maybe that couple to lunch or to dinner and create opportunities to connect. Number 3, be vulnerable. Don't let the fear of rejection or failure hold you back from reaching out to others. Putting yourself out there, even with the risk of rejection, is essential for growth and connection. And the last thing I have is this. Serve. Serve, church. Look for areas where there is a need. Even if the need hasn't been voiced yet by leadership and you see the need, bring it up. Volunteer your time and energy to help build up the church. You know, the need may align perfectly with your gifts or your calling, but hey, sometimes it won't. But regardless, serve faithfully. There's a unique bond that forms whenever people unite and work together to get the common goal. And to sum all this up, guys, stay committed to one church. Take the initiative to connect with others and be open to vulnerability. When you serve, you'll realize that being together is way better than being alone. And you'll find that biblical community that you are longing for. Our goal is to walk in unity and build a strong church and build a strong biblical connections. I believe this will happen. And I am so excited for what is next for New Life Church. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, King Jesus, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Our hearts are so full of gratitude to you, Father God. This church has been in a season, and we just came out of it, and we're so thankful that we're seeing you on the other side. You have never left us, just like your word says, you never will. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. We love you, Jesus. And it's by your power and by your grace alone, Father, that we can do any of this. I pray that we can all work together as one team to spread your gospel, Father, to all the people around us, in our community, and over the world, Lord. That is our vision, to grow and go. And we want to do it together, Father God. We love you, Jesus, and we just thank you so much for your mercy and your grace that you show to us every single day. We love you, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.